to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Happy jingle bells.
Happy
jingle bells. I haven't heard enough Christmas stuff lately, and it's just driving me mad.
Oh, I was all by myself at work for a few hours tonight because everyone else went to our work Christmas party, but someone had to hold down the fort, so I just sat there and listened to Christmas piano music for like 3 hours while I built the schedule for January and February, it was super fun.
The first hour of that sounds fantastic. The last two probably sounds like the opening to The Shining.
Yeah, really. Okay, dude, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I actually work in the hospital, and it is a very old building, and the ward is now all offices, but it used to be the psych ward, so it's got, like, the doors with just, like, the teeny tiny little windows that you can just peer in, and, like, when I'm all alone there at night, it's creepy, and all the girls keep telling me that, like, when they're there alone, there's all these, like, ghost stories floating around with the nurses tell and stuff, and I'm just like, so scary.
Yeah, you probably don't want to play Silent Hill if you want to keep working there.
No, I really, really don't. So, yeah, that was my, I mean, it was pleasant, but now I don't think I'll ever be able to do it again.
You've reminded yourself how scary it is.
Yeah. So, but it was very pleasant listening to Christmas music. That was fun. I don't normally get to do that because when I'm there during the day, my phone's just ringing off the hook. So it was really nice when everyone thought I'd just gone home and I just could just get stuff done. It was quiet. It was good. But so we're not talking about work. We're not talking about Christmas. We are here to talk about video games. So Ryan, what have you been playing?
I'm hoping, we didn't do any prep before this, so I'm hoping you've gotten farther in Legend of Zelda. Confirm, yay or nay.
I have. I have still not got all three pendants.
Well, it's close. That's good. That's good, but you've gotten through a couple dungeons.
I did, yeah. So I got through far enough to get turned into a painting and realize that dude's bracelet made me be able to turn back out of being a painting again. So I got the whole, like, stick-to-the-wall mechanic, which I keep forgetting about. So I have the whole stick-to-the-wall mechanic now. I died once, and so unlocked the store, which I don't know if you could do without dying. Because I went to both locations where, I guess I hadn't gone to Zora's Domain, which is how you get the flippers. Mm-hmm. But I had gone to as close as I could get to both of the X's on the map, and I was just like, okay, I know what I need to get into these places, but then I kept going back to my house, and dude was just like, hi, how are you? I was like, fine, can't I get anything other than the bow and arrow? And then finally I died. I think I fell into the water or something and drowned. And then his little, like, pet bird thing comes and steals away the items, and then the store was there, and I was like, oh, maybe I just had to die.
Weird. I don't remember that. I remember I remember trying to get... I think you can get the flippers without an item, but...
You can. You just have to be able to stick to the wall.
Right, right. Yeah. I love that you have to, like, get the... Did you save the Zora? I'm trying to remember her name. The princess?
Yeah, Queen somebody. I can't remember her name either. Like, but yes, I did. I did save her.
She was all, like, stuck in this, like... pool of hers, and then you give her this ball and
shiny stone. Yeah,
shrinks. She was, like, super big. It's like, oh, you know, I don't know what's happening to me. And then you give her the ball, and she just shrinks. It's like, what's going on? Oh, Japanese people.
Did you not read that at all?
Something about the ball the making her happy.
Shiny stone allows her to channel her power. It is magically smoothed, which I imagine is because she plays with it with her magic for so long or something. I don't know. Anyways, so she, when they take away the stone, then it, like, she just builds up and up and up and up because she's so full of power and she doesn't have an outlet. So that's why she gets bigger and bigger and bigger and gets all stuck in the pool. And then you bring her stone back and she channels her magic into the stone and then she's normal size again.
So either her
magic. You didn't read anything, did you? You just kept being all the way through.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let me get that. Wait, I'm confused. So her magic is to be fat or her magic is to be skinny?
Well, she's just so full of magic that she just, if she doesn't have a way to, it, like, vent it out,
It's true.
Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know. This is a really awkward conversation that can go in either direction with both of us.
We're talking about Zoras. What are you talking about?
I am talking about Zoras as well. I find it very odd that she has a power that she, when she builds up, she just gets really big. It's weird.
She just needs to expend her magic. And if she can't expend her magic, then she just gets big. And then she just had
to dump her magic into a shiny bowl. A bean ball, sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I get it. Yeah, totally.
Okay. But so, anyways.
I remember when the shop opened, it's great because you go to the shop and you're just like, where's all my stuff, dude? Because he takes over your house.
And Did you see your bed is like up against the wall in the back corner? It's not even like on the floor. It's like propped up. Like, yeah. He's just like, I don't even need to sleep. This is now a place of business.
Yeah, like all your stuff, you can see it is like plastered in behind like where the items are stored. And it's just a really nice, you know, touch. And I always thought the Zelda games could do with more of that wacky humor. And I think that the handheld ones and the earlier generation ones kind of did that better. Mm-hmm. And the newer ones.
Did you
ones,
notice that Majora's Mask is hanging on the wall?
Yeah. I don't know if you tried this, but here's a little tidbit for Majora's Mask. Go against the wall, slide in behind it, and you'll notice something interesting.
I did that and nothing happened.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say it. It's not really that crazy, but what happens is the music will change similar to how it changed in Majora's Mask when you were in the forest or something.
Okay, because I think there's a song that plays when you first meet the Skull Kid in Majora's Mask, when he's bouncing around and stuff, and it sounds very, very much like the forest music. But I usually have my volume off, so I probably just missed it. I thought that it would do something. So I totally went up behind the wall, because I was like, oh, maybe I can knock the mask off the wall or something. You know, maybe I can interact with this somehow, and nothing happened. So I was just kind of like, yeah, I didn't have my volume on, so that was probably a problem. But, yeah, so I did that and got the flippers. And then so I decided to go to the one down in the south, because that looked like water, and you know how much I love the water temple, right? So I know everybody else hates it, but I really enjoyed the water temple. And it's not the water temple, it's the wind temple, and I'm just like, oh, not
wind?
The same.
This yeah. is lame.
Exactly. I wanted water. What the F?
You know, all of the temples that I've done so far in this game feel different and from any other dungeon that I've done in these titles. Like
That's true.
You know, especially like the wind one with the currents, and they had a sort of propeller thing in, I think, Wind Waker or one of the console ones.
Wind Waker, I think you had a leaf that you could kind of travel, like you could hold the leaf and it was like a parachute.
One of them had like a spinny thing, and I'm trying to remember if maybe it was Skyward Sword.
Might have been, because I might not have gotten that far.
Yeah, but anyways, it's just, and I found that, you know, the game is really good at telling you pretty much right away that you need an item without, you know, at the start they sort of beat it over the top of your head because it's like there's a picture of the item you need. But, and those are just for the first three dungeons, but as you progress, you sort of learn what item you need through experience rather through just a blatant, this is what you need. Right. Sign in front of the dungeon. So, I mean, it's really cool, and I'm a little farther than you are. I'm three dungeons in after you collect the three pendants. And
dude, you're kicking my ass.
Well, I mean, I haven't played in a while, and I think I had it a week before you did, didn't I? Or I don't know. Anyways.
Well, yeah, because my 3DS took a long time to get here, so I didn't have it for that weekend. And I've been trying, like, I've been playing on my commute a lot, but usually I get about halfway through my commute. My commute's about 40 minutes, and then I really start feeling sick because it's always stop and go traffic on the bus.
Right.
And so I'm just like, plus 3D, and I'm just like, okay, now I'm just getting nauseous. This is bad news bears. I almost had to get off the bus one day.
Yeah, I was kind of helped out. I was out of town early this week, so I had like some hotel time. So I'm like, let's do this. Flip open the 3DS. Finally, I have an excuse to play portable games. And then I fell asleep an hour later, but you know,
see, and I've had the exact opposite experience this week because I had to finish up all of my, I had a paper and a website I had to build. Well, paper I had to write, a website I had to build, right, to finish up my master's course at Dal. So, I mean, like my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I missed Angry Chicken this week, which makes me so angry because they interviewed a dev and I was like, oh man,
I saw that.
That would have been so amazing. So, anyways, I had to miss Angry Chicken this week. I missed just a whole bunch of stuff. I was constantly doing schoolwork all the way until Wednesday night. So, but that's all done now. So now I can, you know, I have plane rides to look forward to that can be full of gaming and stuff. And I'm so psyched. So, yeah, I'm still not as far as I want to be in Zelda, but I am really, really, really enjoying it. I like the story. I mean, the paint guy is a little bit odd. I mean, I like my more traditional Ganon bad guy, but, you know, I'll take Painty McPainster. You know, he's all right.
He reminds me of the bad guy from Skyward Sword, where they did a kind departure of. And created, like, this weird, quirky, long-tongued dude. I don't know what it is about the Japanese and their long-tongue fascinations, but, I mean, that's two games in a row. Anuma, that you've got this giant tongue bad guy, and it's starting to creep us out.
There's a giant tongue? I don't think I've experienced.
He does the thing with his mouth?
I don't think that I've noticed that.
Well, obviously, you don't have 3D turned on.
I don't have 3D turned on, which I'm finding is actually really hard in this wind temple thing that I'm in.
Yeah.
Without the 3D on, it's really, really hard. Yeah, I just, you know, like, I can kind of tell where things are, but, I mean, even looking at the stairs, you can't tell if you're going up or down, and, yeah, so, I don't know. I kind of, if I get really stuck, then I turn the 3D on a little bit, but I'm trying to keep it off, and the other thing with that, I keep forgetting that I can actually become part of the wall, and there's all these things, I thought they were, like, markers above doors or something to tell me something, like, you know, green door will take me to other green door, but they're not. They're rupees. They're just painted on the wall.
Yeah.
So you have to go into paint mode to pick them up. So I found that out because I just got so stuck. I went into that stupid room like three times, like the main room in the wind temple. And I was like, I literally can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't jump over anything. And, you know, like I was just, I was so frustrated. And then, yeah. Today on the bus, I was like, okay, I'm going to try one more time before I, like, call Ryan and be like, dude, this game is dumb. What is going on?
No, and then I was like, great.
Oh, the wall, right, the wall.
As you progress further, the wall technique never really becomes a key mechanic. It's a key mechanic, but it still feels like you try everything, and then at the very end, it's like, right, I can stick to a wall, and then usually you figure out, oh, I can make it to another door, or I can make it to, you know, another place where I can fall off and jump down, but
it's really too bad that you can't, like, go up and down on the wall. You can only go left and right.
Yeah, I understand
why. That would make
the
game way too easy, but still.
But
then I would just go all the way to the top and go around and come back down where I need to go.
you would do, like,
you bad guys.
Just Game Gear or Game Genie it, and just go boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
I win. I feel like the game is tough. You know, you're not quite at the part where it starts to ramp up, but I was doing a dungeon and man, I was dying all the time.
Really?
And renting items really is a rupee sink. Because I, you know, usually in a Zelda game, you're like, oh great, I found 100 rupees. I guess I can go buy bombs. Oh wait, I'm always have enough bombs. But in this, it's like the rupees really make a difference because you rent items, and if you never die, you don't have to worry about it. So you're like, well, Ryan, you need to suck less so you can save your rupees.
I was gonna say that, but then I was just like, no, that's too mean. I'll just let him have it.
It's pretty tough. I'll wait and see until you get to the ice dungeon and you let me know. When you die, you lose your items, but there's a reward for sticking around and not dying and having a stockpile of rupees because you can actually buy those items outright.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to upgrade them.
I've only ever been able to rent things. Maybe I'm just not far enough yet.
I think once you collect the pendants, he'll give you the option to buy them. But have you met the octopus thing that wants you to collect its babies?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
I won't tell you where it is, or if you want me to tell you, I'll tell you. But
no spoilers.
It's I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it's really cool mechanic. You know how every Zelda game has their side mission where it's like, find 100 of these, and yeah. they're super hard to find, and you'll
kill
probably
all the gold Skulltulas or whatever. Yeah.
And you'll probably never do it, but there's like an audio cue to know it's in the room. Well, yeah. there's another one of those in this game, and it actually, in my mind, is a lot more useful than any of the other times they employed this sort of side quest. And it actually allows you to upgrade your weapons. So, yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, I can't remember, because that was in, I think, Ocarina of Time, was mm-hmm. those gold spiders that you had to find, and they did the, like, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
Yeah.
Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated that. And all he gave you was a new wallet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't remember what the rewards were. All I remembered was that I was trying to get those freaking gold skulls on all of my maps, and I was just like, oh, man, I only have, like, one left. Where is it? So frustrating.
Yeah. He gives you, like, a higher wallet. I think there's, like, a really popular video game comic out there where, you know, it shows Link going into the house of the Skull Tullas or whatever, and he sees them, and he just looks all freaked out, and then the next frame is just the house is burnt down, and Link is, like, all scared and huddled in the fetal position because he burnt the house down. But it's so true. Like, it's just, that was the creepiest. It's just, like, this half spider, like, kill me. Rah,
yeah.
You know?
That was a really creepy concept, yeah. actually, to think of it.
Yeah. Now I won't be able to sleep tonight. Thanks, yeah. Nintendo.
Yep. So the other Nintendo title that I've been playing is Animal Crossing. And, yay. Dude, I don't get this.
Oh. Okay, what don't you get? What are you doing
like, in the game? Okay, so I deleted my game and mm-hmm. made a new game where now I'm the mayor, and now I see, I'm like, oh, this makes more sense. Stupid mm-hmm. Chrissy's gone. Whoever Chrissy was, I don't know, but no, she totally ruined Chrissy. The town. Jerk. But anyway, so I deleted Chrissy, and so now I'm the mayor, which good. Is how it should be. And then, yeah, so I'm all set now with my own town, and things are, it's okay, but I knew this was going to happen. Everyone was so gung-ho about this stupid Animal Crossing, and you have to go in every day, and you have to farm your stupid fruit, and then you have to sell your items to other people. No one comes to my town, dude. None of my friends are ever online. No one else is playing Animal Crossing. And I was like, I told you people that this was going to happen. And you were like, no, Jocelyn, it'll be fine. We'll all come buy your fruit. No one's buying my fruit, dude. No one's buying my fruit.
Okay. First of all, stop saying buying my fruit. It's creepy. because you don't actually sell your fruit to people. Okay. The fruit. Okay.
I could put my fruit on auction if I wanted to.
There are no corners in Animal Crossing. I'm pretty sure Nintendo made sure you cannot sell your fruit. Anyways. Well, I guess you could stand on the tracks and walk back and forth.
I was going to say where the tracks are with that little path there. That's a corner. That's an intersection.
Hey, Rossetti, you want to buy my fruit? I got cherries and apples and bananas.
Anyways.
So wrong.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of wrong in there. But Animal Crossing is, like I said, it's... I think I said this when we first brought it on with the 3DS title, but it's like Nintendo's answer to a freemium game, but you've paid for everything. You've paid the $40 mm-hmm. up front, but there's still the grinding there. And the point, okay, here's, I'll let you in on a little secret. The progression of the game, okay? This is your goal from what you aim for, and how mm-hmm. you get to that goalpost is up to you. So your goalpost is to upgrade your house. So, yes. Have you upgraded your house a few times yet?
Well, you see, I had this friend who came right. to my town, and he was like, hey, I know you have to delete your save, so you should probably just drop all your items and all your bells in my town, and then I'll totally save them for you.
I did.
And then once you make a new town, I'll totally give them back. And now he's never online. I'm pretty sure he's dodging me.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Hi, you've reached Ryan Murphy at the Gamers Inn. I can't take your call right now because I'm spending these bells that I found on the ground.
There you go. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what's happening. So, yeah.
You could have, like, tweeted me. House.
I've upgraded my house once.
Okay.
Well, I got an actual house. And yeah. So I upgraded from the tent. And then now I've got the next bigger size house. But I have, like, a 90,000 bell loan I have to pay off. And I'm like, you know what would really help? Those 25,000 bells I gave Ryan.
Yeah. Well, okay. I didn't know you were playing Animal Crossing.
Every day.
Every day.
Like I'm supposed to. Okay, I've been looking. I went to the mayor's office because apparently I can get a development permit. And I don't know if that's for the town or my house. But somebody told me to get a permit. So I was like, okay. So I've been sitting in the chair and she keeps telling me to water the flowers. I can't water the flowers, Ryan. I don't have a watering can. And I keep going to the general store every single day and there's like a bug net and a shovel. And I'm like, I have all these things.
You have to wait till the flower shop to open up.
There's a flower. How do I make the flower shop open?
You progress the game. You keep buying stuff at the stores. Have you bought any of the PlayCoin stuff yet?
No, there's never anything good. They keep wanting me to buy wrapping paper.
There's like a fortune cookie you can buy, which you
I saw the fortune cookie on Chrissy's save, and now that I have my own save, it's not there anymore.
Okay.
I keep buying the wands because they've given me every freaking color of fairy wand. I have like a pink one, a green one, a yellow one, a blue one, and something else.
What do the wands
do? Huh? Nothing! They're just something you carry around, and they're just an accessory. But they're in the spot where the fortune cookie is, so I keep buying the wands, thinking maybe tomorrow the fortune cookie will come. But the fortune cookie never comes, Ryan.
Okay.
I have nothing to...
And I don't know how to fix this, guys. Can anybody help? Anybody?
I have been getting all of my coins for doing all of my walking because I carry my 3DS everywhere now and they're just stacking up and up and up and up and I'm just like, I don't know, coins. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with you.
Okay. Next time you're online, I will pop on and you can come to my town and you can buy some fortune cookies. You can get all the tools. I'll give you your money back. Don't break my legs. Virtually, of course.
I don't know. This is sounding sketchy.
Just come to the railroad tracks. I'll give you your fruit. Don't worry. I got bananas. I got oranges. And I'm being serious. I got cherries. I got apples. We'll load you up.
Yeah.
And then you plant them.
I do. I figured out the planting thing. I have coconuts and I have oranges and I have some kind of spiky looking fruit that I would never put anywhere near my face.
Well, you're supposed to chop it up and chop the spikes. Anyways. I don't know. It's like a... I don't know what they're called.
I don't know.
I always want to call them pineapples, but pineapples aren't, like, spiky.
Yeah. No, like, it's like a round fruit with spikes coming out of it.
Starts with a D.
Could, possibly. Mm. I don't know. Anyways, it's not very appetizing.
You're not enjoying Animal Crossing.
I'm just so confused, and there's no people. There's no people.
You have people in your town, right? Like, straight.
Well, yeah, NPCs.
So you talk to them.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, dude, what's up?
Okay, so then
okay.
I started talking to a dude today, and he was like, because the lady at the town hall told me I should go talk to people and that would make them like me more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And she's like, sometimes they might ask you to do things. And I was like, that's okay. It's just like quests. Yeah. And then so I walked up to this zebra, and I was like, hey, zebra, how's it going? And he's like, good. I'd really like to see the inside of your house. And I'm like, okay. Weird, but okay. So he's like, okay, but I can only come by after 11:30 a.m. this morning. And I was like, but I have a meeting at 11:30 a.m. So it says, pick a time. And I was like, okay, I'll just put it for a little bit later in the day. And the zebra can come to my house, weird, later in the day. And then as soon as I went to change the time, even though it's like has arrows saying change the time, he was like, the whole thing just quit on me, and he was like, oh, I guess you don't want me to come over then. And he ran away, and I was like, oh, okay.
Touchy zebra.
Very touchy zebra. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably why he wanted in my house.
Oh, man, I do not like...
I don't know what
like...
kind of crossing you guys are doing with your animals.
I don't know. I don't like when we talk about this game. It's such an innocent game, and we make it sound like it's GTA 6. I mean, it's really, to be honest, I said this when we brought this up in June, but this game is hard to explain and hard to capture.
I think I've been explaining it extremely well.
No, you've been doing a great job. It's just you, That's the problem, is that it's hard to explain. When you explain it, you sound crazy. The only way for you to
I feel crazy when I play this game.
The only way for people to understand what we're talking about is for them to buy it. And I think that's why Nintendo sold like millions of copies, because everybody's like, did you hear this game where you have a zebra and he sends you letters and he comes into your house and he has a birthday and you can shoot down presents. He may or may not buy your fruit. Yeah, and he'll buy your fruit. You bury the fruit instantly. Sprouts into a tree. It's fantastic. So I think, okay, here's your goal for next week when it comes to Animal Crossing.
I don't want homework.
Well, I mean, this is fun homework because it's a video game. You just gotta, I don't know, go fishing or something.
You don't even know what homework to give me.
I don't know. It's just so, you gotta kind of, okay, for me with Animal Crossing, I enjoyed trying to collect as much fruit as possible and planting trees everywhere. So I have like trees everywhere in my place. I mean, you saw my place. It's Tree City.
I haven't been to your city yet. You didn't invite me. You came in, you stole my bells, and then you left.
You were at my city. Was it? No, you weren't. I was in your city. You're right. That's true. Anyways, I like fishing, so there's that collection mechanic as well. I know you, I have your fishing rod.
Hang of fishing. I bought a new one because okay. I was just like, screw this. I was like, I'll save 500 bells by giving Ryan my fishing rod. Nope.
I'm never going to live that down. I better give it back to you before Christmas holidays.
So, yeah, I don't understand. Like, I mean, I like the fossil thing because I seem to be able to find a lot of those. And then I don't like the fishing thing because I seem to, for some reason, not be able to hook the fish. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, and I don't know what the difference is in what I'm doing. I don't, like, I'm not doing anything different. I'm still pressing A when the bobber goes down, but for some reason, sometimes the fish disappears and sometimes the fish starts swimming in circles. So when he just starts swimming in circles, I just start, like, mashing buttons and moving the control stick because I don't know if I'm actually supposed to do anything.
I think, like, occasionally the bobber will go down, but the only time you're supposed to push A is when the bobber goes fully down.
Yeah. Well, no, because sometimes they do the little thing where they're, like, poking at it. Yeah. It's not then. It's like, I see it go all the way down. Maybe I'm too slow. I don't know. Anyways, yeah.
It takes a while.
Fishing is not my favorite.
Yeah, fishing takes, for me, it took some time to get used to. I mean, there's also bug catching as well.
That was tough. I tried that for the first time yesterday on the island. Have you been to the island? Does everyone get an island?
I have been to the island. You enter the six numbers to get in. It's great.
There's six numbers? Ugh. They didn't ask me for any numbers.
It's a lost reference, Jocelyn.
Oh.
Come on. It's not. This might not even be six numbers. It's like, Ryan, it's actually five, and it's 4, 8, 16, 32, 23. 42. I don't actually know.
42.
Yeah. No, I've been to the island. I know a lot of people swear by the island that it's a great place to make a bunch of money. I have not experienced that.
Well, I caught, I think, two butterflies, and then I got like 5,000 bells for it. So I feel like, and I've been selling all my fossils too. So I've been making a lot of money that way.
So you can also take your fossils to the museum as well, and then they
display them. But they don't give you shit!
It's a collecting game, Jocelyn. You get to sell the ones that are duplicates. Also, another tip.
I sell all the ones. I want my bells, bitch.
A good way, if you want to make some more bells, is go to the reuse store, and you can actually put the fossils up on display. And then occasionally when you're in there, you'll have an NPC walk in and you just follow him around. And then when he goes bling, when he has a little like exclamation point, he'll actually walk towards something and just talk to him. And he'll be like, I really like this T-Rex tail. And you say, yeah, you should buy it. And he's like, oh, I see it's yours. Okay, I'll buy it. Here's the 10,000 bells you asked. And you can set your own price.
Yeah.
And I usually double it. And then I get double my money. It's great. Mm. And I screw the penguin that lives next door. Stupid
penguin. And yet you screw him.
Again, not that kind of game, Jocelyn. I don't know what you're looking for. This is a Nintendo experience.
I don't know, dude. It's pretty messed up. That's all I'm going to say. This game is pretty messed up. Yeah. So what else have you been playing? Because that's all I've been doing is I still actually haven't even opened my Mario 3DS game yet. So
I want to know whether you like that game. Because that is probably one of the better Mario platformers available.
I've heard it's amazing. I've heard really, really good things, which is why it was one of the ones I picked up. I picked that up instead of getting Pokemon. So, and I love, well, not Pokemon. I've never played Pokemon before, but I love Battle Pets and WoW. It's one of my favorite things to go and do, which, dude, I haven't played WoW since, like, I got into the Hearthstone beta. It's so bad. I was just like, wow, what's WoW?
You haven't played WoW, but at least you're still enjoying your Warcraft.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. I have a feeling that I'm probably going to get Pokemon for Christmas. I just have that weird feeling. So
I never ask for video games for Christmas. I usually just end up getting gift cards, so I just go buy everything I want.
I was told not to ask for gift cards, and I'm like, but gift cards equal buying games. And it's like, no, you're not getting gift cards. I'm like, fine.
The chat room is currently saying this is the first time they've heard Animal Crossing being talked about in that way. I know, I have the mind of a 12-year-old boy. I'm really, really sorry. But at the same time, you're peddling your fruit on the side of the road and random strangers want to come in to see your house. And it's really, really weird in some places. It just, it's weird.
But occasionally you have nice people that want to come into your town. Like, JJ and Renee were in my town and it was wonderful. We had tea. I gave them my oranges, they gave them, or no wait, I gave them peaches, they gave me oranges, it was great. It was a fantastic exchange of fruit. I don't know what you guys' problem is.
I have not ever had this kind of experience. I have just been robbed and
oh, right, yeah. I swear, you're getting it back, man, I'm just investing it for you.
Right, right, yeah. Till the investment falls through.
And then your house becomes a tent again.
Yeah. Does that happen?
Okay. No, it does not. Okay. It's a Nintendo game. Everything's happy and cheery. You don't foreclose on your house. You're the mayor. Make the rules.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So what else have you been playing other than 3DS stuff?
I've been enjoying Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U.
So I have Land, right? For the 3DS.
You do
this
have
Land. This is confusing. Land. They need to make new names. Like, this is dumb.
Yeah. I mean, God forbid Mario, Nintendo's greatest franchise, has the worst naming convention. Okay, like, New Super Mario Brothers made sense when it was new. Having four games after that, you know, New Super Mario Brothers 2, New Super Mario Brothers U, New Super Mario Brothers Luigi U. It's just, and then you got, it's just madness.
So next time they change up the franchise, is it going to be new?
I don't know. To be honest, I think even Super Mario 3D Land works because it's like on the portables, it was always Super Mario Land. Okay, so then when they added the third dimension with the 3D, they add 3D in there and boom, you got a 3DS title. But it makes no sense on the Wii U. Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If anything, it should be Super Mario World 3D, right?
It should be like Super Mario U World or Super Mario World U.
You know what they should just call it? Is they should just
U and Super Mario.
Maybe.
Super Mario and U.
They don't have many ideas, Jocelyn. They should really just pull, just do a Super Mario World and just call it that and be done with it. And I don't know why, like, you have, look at Legend of Zelda, like, there's like 20 titles in that franchise and they all have different subtitles, but they're all prefixed by Legend of Zelda and it works. You know it's a Zelda game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, with Mario it's just crazy, but anyways, naming conventions aside, this game is another one of those fantastic Mario titles. And like 3D Land, it's kind of set up the same way in the sense that the worlds aren't open, but they're sort of like you get to explore little islands of a world, So I was kind of disappointed. When I played New Super Mario Bros. U, I was like, damn, now I got to wait 2 or 3 years until they make the 3D Mario World game I want. And then this game comes out, and it's not Super Mario Galaxy, and I'm like, damn, I'm enjoying this, but I have to wait, like, probably 3 years until I get, that Galaxy game, that Galaxy sequel that I want, that Sunshine experience, So, I know, did you play the Galaxy games at all?
I played the first one all the way through to the end. I played the second one probably about halfway. I never did finish the second one, but that was just purely because of the platform it was on. And it just, like, I mean, I hadn't turned on the Wii since, like, before I moved. And I've been living out here in Nova Scotia for a year and a half now. So, I mean, like, until Extra Life this year, because we were trying to play Mario Kart, I hadn't even turned it on in probably... Right. 2 to 2.5 years, like whenever, I guess 2 years, because I turned it on to play Skyward Sword. So, right.
I mean, I really enjoy those experiences, like the explore the massive world, finding, you know, completing challenges to get a star kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Those were always my favorite Mario games, and I know there's only been 4 of them, but those were the ones that I always loved. And, this one's not it. It's another one of those, like, get to the flagpole type Mario games.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a lot of fun, and it's 4-player co-op. I haven't been able to play co-op. Still haven't been able to convince anybody to, come on, let's play. Let's sit on the couch and we'll play. There's no online multiplayer, so,
yeah,
as expected. But it's set up like the second Mario game on the NES, where you get to play as Mario, Luigi, Toad, or Peach.
Right.
And they all have different abilities. They all vary in terms of speed, jump height, and special ability. Like, Luigi has his little flutter jump, and Peach can float, and Toad's fast. And, you know, they really encourage you to try different characters, because when you load a world, it's like, okay, you can choose what character you want. Occasionally, when I got bored of Mario, I'd just hit the random button, and it would just choose a character for you, which was always a nice surprise. And, you know, the game looks fantastic. It's a cartoon-style Mario game, so of course on the Wii U, the HD visuals pop. And it's just a lot of fun, and the music's great, and the levels are interesting, and the music is, like, there's a bunch of, like, remixed old-school Mario music. Like, the character select music from Super Mario Brothers 2 on the NES is redone for a little minigame. And I just sit there, and I won't even progress the minigame. I'm just listening to the, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it on par but with that. But it's so great. And the power-ups are really neat. You get a cat suit, you know? I thought that sounded stupid to me.
It sounds pretty ridiculous. It sounds like an excuse to put Peach in a cat suit.
Well, I'm here to tell you that the cat suit is probably one of my favorite Mario power-ups, because it's OP. You can you have, like, a scratch attack, which is great. It's OP as hell, and you're about to find out why. You also can jump up in the air and do, like, a pounce attack, which is also, like, insta-kill. And then you can also climb up. You scamper, you don't climb, you scamper up, like, walls and stuff. So it's like, it's interesting. And the other power-up that they added was the multiple cherry, where it splits your character into 2, and you can have a max of 5. And it's just really crazy and creative and
weird.
You don't get these games very much, very often, so it's a lot of fun. You
know, and that is one thing. I mean, I know I rip on Nintendo a lot, but they do try different things. Mm-hmm. They are quite innovative, even in titles like Zelda and Mario, where they've been doing them over and over and over for 25 years or more in some cases. And, you know, it's just, they still manage to find a new mechanic every time, or, you know, something to just kind of push that envelope and make it that little bit different. So,
yeah. I mean,
really cool.
The beauty of, if, God forbid, Nintendo were to stop making consoles and produce their games on other platforms, you know they're not going to pull a Sega. I mean, just because they stop making hardware doesn't mean they're going to start making shitty games. I mean, Sega games, let's be honest, between you and me and Jocelyn, let's just stop the podcast. Sega games weren't that great, you know? Like, the Dreamcast games, Sonic Adventure was bullshit, okay? Sorry, guys. That game sucked. But, like, you know, and Sega just kept making the same games they always made. They were just subpar. They weren't that great. But I think that if Nintendo
already makes great games.
Yeah, and not making hardware isn't going to stop that. So, I mean, if it ever does happen, we shouldn't worry about never getting a good game. And Aurelian in the chat room makes a good point. I wish Nintendo would release soundtracks because they only do it through promotions and stuff. And if they released Super Mario 3D World as a soundtrack, that'd be fantastic.
I have the Zelda Symphony one that came with Skyward Sword, and it's fantastic. I love it. It's really good.
It's so short.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Absolutely. So, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to Quickfire News.
Mm-hmm. The Spike VGX Awards. VGX, let that one sink in. The kind of dumb but had some cool reveals video game awards on Spike TV are back, but this year they're rebooted and called VGX. Is that like Video Games Extreme? I really hope not. The show will be live on Spike TV and many other devices on December 7th, which is tomorrow, for 3 hours starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Expect to see more Titanfall, more Destiny, an updated look at an upcoming Wii U game, and hopefully some awesome surprises. Related to the VGX show taking place this weekend, Steam is having yet another sale. So if you still have money left over, go there now.
I actually didn't really buy that much in this, if anything, actually, in this round of Steam sales.
Oh, really?
I know.
Kind of crazy.
I went crazy in the summer sale, and then this sale, I was just kind of like, nah, I've either already got it or I'm just not interested. Mm. None of the stuff I actually wanted to go on sale went on sale, so.
Well, you got a winter sale, like, in a month, so you're still good.
That's true. So the WoW movie is getting some actors. We don't know who they're playing yet, but we do have some names. Ben Foster from 310 to Yuma, Travis Fimmel from Vikings. I do not know who that is. I don't know who most of these people are. I looked at some pictures and I was kind of like, huh. So, which I think is good in the long run for the movie. I don't want to go in with any preconceived notions of who these characters are. So, anyway, sorry. Paula Patton from Precious and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Toby Kebbell from Wrath of the Titans and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Rob Kaczynski from True Blood and Pacific Rim. Love Pacific Rim. And Dominic Cooper from Captain America and My Week with Marilyn. I didn't look up his picture. I'm not sure who that guy is, but I also really liked Captain America. So there's some pretty stellar talent in here. Mm-hmm. The Warcraft movie will premiere in March of 2016.
He plays that Bucky guy, like the sidekick who falls off the train.
Right.
Yeah,
that's not a spoiler. That was unfortunate.
Anyways, moving on. Multiple updates for multiple Telltale games. While episode 2 of A Wolf Among Us isn't expected until the new year, Telltale has given us a first peek. It is announced that Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk will feature as the sharp-tongued rogue from the Fables universe. That means nothing to me. But in other Telltale news, The Walking Dead Season 2 will kick off on December 17th, according to Steam. You get to play as Clementine this time, guys. Get on it.
The global beta for Project Spark has gone live. Beta registration started this past June for Microsoft's awesome-looking build-whatever-you-want video game, Project Spark. The worldwide beta opened up December 3rd, exclusive to Windows 8.1. The Xbox One beta should roll out in early 2014. It's very interesting that a title that was used to promote Xbox One is going to Windows beta first. But, you know, that's just how it goes, I guess. Aren't you glad you bought that Xbox One? No, wait, you didn't!
I know who did, though.
Who did?
Paul Swickard.
Right. I totally forgot about that. Don't tell Paul I forgot about that already. He was just on last week.
No, that wasn't Paul. That was Warcrusher.
Oh, no.
Don't worry. You've had a long week.
Host fail. That brings us very shockingly, jerkingly, and whatever, to our topic of the week, which we actually didn't get a chance to talk about it last week because Warcrusher. So Greg Ghostcrawler Street is leaving Blizzard. As of right now, I don't know. Last week, the news was that he was leaving for an unnamed company. Have we heard anything else along those lines of who or why he's leaving?
No. I can only imagine probably like a new project or something.
Yeah. So basically, Greg's role at Blizzard, he was a developer, but he also acted more like a community manager than anything else. I mean, he was constantly on Twitter answering questions, talking to fans, you know, dealing with all of the snark that can come with, you know, forums and Twitter and everything else, especially when you're involved in a game as big as WoW with such a loyal fan base. Greg's role really made people feel like they could talk to the devs and that the devs were listening. And again, in such a large community, that is really invaluable. So, I mean, him leaving is a huge change to the dynamic of how WoW works, really. So a lot of people were completely shocked. He seemed completely on board with Blizzard at BlizzCon, which was only a few weeks ago. So kind of shocking news. Ryan, do you want to weigh in on any of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's always sad when... No, it's not sad. It's always odd when someone, like, leaves a company. I mean, we get really attached to a public figure that works on our favorite games. I mean, we've seen it many times. I mean, you look at Gears of War creator Cliff Bleszinski leaving Epic, you know, and... it's just weird. It's like, are they going to keep making games after that? You know, what new projects are they going to do? Obviously, Greg has a really good reason for leaving Blizzard. I mean, he obviously isn't leaving on bad terms.
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, no, this seemed to be a very, you know, happy parting. Like, mm-hmm. you know, good news for him, obviously. He got a better offer, so good on him. Yeah. Mostly, like, what I really wanted to talk about is... really the role that he played at Blizzard, and if you think that anyone else is going to step up into that role, because Blizzard does have community managers. There are plenty of community managers, especially around WoW. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the Hearthstone community managers. They are great to talk to and great to deal with. They are just fabulous. So, I mean, they do have a very strong team in their community management portion at Blizzard, but with Greg actually being a developer mm-hmm. and being able to speak to a lot of things that maybe community managers didn't know all the nitty-gritty programmy stuff behind, it's a technical term, the nitty-gritty programmy stuff. So, you know, like, I mean, he had this really unique insight into a lot of the stuff that was going on, and it made fans feel like they had a voice in the room when development decisions were being made. So do you think that this is something that more teams should have, or do you think that they really need to separate developers from Twitter?
Well, I mean...
or social media.
You know, I work in social media, and I, like, as, you know, sort of a social media correspondent or whatever, and that can be tough because people are constantly asking you questions that you know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And social media is about a instant feedback kind of system. So when a community manager has to track down the person that has the answer who's doing their job, you know, it increases the amount of time it takes for someone to get back to you, or if you even do get back to that person. So I think having someone, you know, who is designing these systems that people are highly invested in, you know, it really works really well when they can get, even if it is like half an answer or just an honest answer. I mean, mm-hmm. Ghostcrawler, it seemed like he was basically the inspiration for like World of Tweets or whatever on the instance. And it was always like snarky snark question. And then he'd answer it like, well, you know, he'd answer it honestly, sometimes admitting that the person has a point, but there's no way to fix that issue or something like that. And it's refreshing. And with World of Warcraft, which is a constantly evolving large system with many systems inside of it, it's really cool to be able to talk to designers about it and say like, oh, it'd be really cool if we did this or that or that. And
do you feel that there's ever any kind of sense of I talked to Ghostcrawler on Twitter, or like he answered me and he said they'd do X, or he said that they're thinking about Y, or mm-hmm. this might be coming, and then it never happens? Do you think that that has more of a negative effect than if they had just never been able to get that communication through to the dev team?
Well, I mean, the problem with the internet is that people think when they get an answer, it's gospel, you know, and until that's not really an issue with some of these companies. Just have to think like, okay, can I answer this question? And if we can't, you know, follow up on that answer, is it really going to hurt the company? I think when it comes to Blizzard, I mean, they're so big that, you know, answering something minuscule as, can I make DPS 2.1 instead of 2? that sometimes it seems like those are the type of, and I get it, warlocks, I get it. I mean, that 0.1 makes a huge difference in your battle role or whatever you call it. But I think, I don't think it hurts the company if somebody is constantly proven wrong and Greg never did this. I mean, because, most of the time when he answered a question, he made sure to fact check and he was always, mostly answering correctly. But I mean, unless it's somebody who's like completely giving out false information, I don't think it really hurts the company. I think it makes the company appear more transparent, which is important because it seems on the internet, if you have more than 5 employees at your company, that you're a soulless corporation, So
that's true. Like, I mean, Greg definitely gave a face to the actual dev team to Blizzard as opposed to, not just the community managers. Because I mean, I don't want any of this conversation to seem like we are down on community managers in any way, shape, or form. Like Ryan mentioned, he's a community manager at work. I do community management for a local TV show. I mean, like, we're both involved in Twitter for Gamers In and on our own personal accounts more than anything else. But we're not down on community managers at all. It's just that Greg's role was so unique that it's really sad for Blizzard to see him go, I think. And I don't know if he can be replaced, because this definitely seemed like a role that wasn't given to him. Mm-hmm. Nobody said, hey, go talk on Twitter about WoW. It was something that he kind of naturally fell into. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after he's gone. Has he actually left yet? I'm not 100% sure what his end date was, but
I don't know. To be honest, yeah. I mean, when he announced he was leaving, I don't think he really gave us much insight into when and where he was going. But, I saw him at a bunch of BlizzCon panels on using the virtual ticket, and he seemed very happy, and he was, proud of what they were showing when it comes to World of Warcraft. And it takes a lot of effort to leave something that you loved so much. And I think if anything is coming out of this, we can say, hey, two things. I mean, he's going to something that he's truly going to enjoy, that he feels the need to leave Blizzard and World of Warcraft. But B, it's like, that just shows how awesome person he is, right? That he's able to say, like, okay, I've done what I can do here, and I'm going to move on and try something new.
So, we wish Greg Ghostcrawler Street the absolute best of luck from us here at the Gamers Inn. And I think that pretty much does it for our show. Just a reminder to you guys that you should head over to slashleaf.com, where you can pick up an awesome Gamers Inn t-shirt. There's also t-shirts from our friends over at the Frog Pants Network. You can find all kinds of stuff like the Morning Stream, the Angry Chicken, the Instance. Also another Amove show, StarCast has their shirts up there too. So head on over to slashloot.com and pick yourself up a geeky t-shirt or two. So that does it for us this week. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous shows, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Amove Radio, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show with your comments, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Jill Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week!